I'm Zandria.
I'm Shauna.
I'm Corianne.
And we are Team Wahine. Here we have Kealani Cook, a professor at UH West Oahu for History in Hawaiian Pacific Studies. He is originally from Waimea on Hawaii Isle, who got his master's in history at UH Manoa and proceeded to continue his education by earning a PhD in Michigan. His first book, which we'll be discussing, is Return to Kahiki, that was published in 2018. The book focuses on Native Hawaiian interactions with other oceanic people.
What made you go into history instead of the concentration of Hawaiian Pacific Studies?
Because I started off liking history, and then I kind of fell into Pacific Studies, and like, I went into history because that was something I'd always liked. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there was like a lot of changes happening in Hawaiian history. Mm-hmm. The Hawaiian historian that was at Manoa, Reynolds, she was sick for the longest time, so she didn't really take on students, she didn't really teach classes. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't any Hawaiian history in the history department.
Oh, interesting.
All the Hawaiian history was being done in poli sci,
right,
and Hawaiian study. That was actually when I started my PhD that I switched over and started doing Pacific history. Because I was up in Michigan, so I went up to Michigan to do my PhD, and they were like creating a Pacific history or like Pacific studies core group. There was Lani Tebbis, myself, Dean Saraneo, like a couple of other people who were from Hawaii, some people from other parts of the Pacific, their grad students that they're bringing up, and then they had the faculty. So they had a Samoan guy from New Zealand, who was the first Samoan Rhodes Scholar. So a Rhodes Scholar is basically Oxford, Cambridge, one of those like fancy British schools. They pull in someone from the former empire, and like it's a full ride. So he was up there, Damon Salasa. This guy Vince Diaz was on a pan from Guam, mm-hmm. but he went to Manoa. He was a walk-on on the football team, and then he quit so he could like actually focus on studies. And Amy Stillman, who's from the east side, but she's a like she's a study schooler, she's a hula scholar. She is up there. Susan Najita, like local Japanese lady, does like local literature. So they're all up there, and they had like the specific history thing that they're farming, and so like we kind of got sucked into there. And then when I was there, because I was reading all the specific history mm-hmm. stuff, and I was seeing all these Hawaiians and different like sprinkled around in like Samoan history and Fijian history and stuff. And seeing Samoans and Fijians like sprinkled and Tahitians sprinkled in Hawaiian history. So I just started researching that sort of in between where like everybody seems to be going back and forth in the Pacific, but no one was writing about it. Because it's basically like I didn't want to because I was scared of Hawaiian studies because I don't know. It just had such a like negative sense of like.
It just seemed depressing.
Yeah, because it was just, oh, the books that we read. The narrative is really just like, Hawaiians, you had this thing. You had the kingdom and you're almost good, like modern subjects of the world. And then you were unable to do it properly. So we came and took over. And it was very, like, it's super just gross and biased.
You grew up in Waimea.
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of Hawaiian culture and history flourished in Hawaii Isle.
When I was little, like, my grandpa used to take us to those places all the time. And it just, yeah, it was just like, I was a good student, and school told me that like Hawaiian history was bad, so I stopped doing it. Which is, looking back on it, it's like, oh wow, I probably shouldn't have been so like easily led.
Have you encountered a contact zone through your work? If so, what was it?
In Hawaiian history, a lot of the historians were white, so the contact zone they wanted to study was always like, what happened when the white people showed up? So like histories of Hawaii always start with Captain Cook. It's like, oh no, that's not where histories of Hawaii start. Like that, he just shows up halfway through the story. Because we focus so much on contact zones, historians, we wouldn't usually use that term, but like, because we focus on that, on those sort of interactions, but we only focused on that one type of interaction between like Hawaiian, especially Americans and Hawaiians, there was all this other stuff that's left out. The stuff I've been trying to do is connecting that. The other one that's still not really done is there's a lot of histories of Asians in Hawaii. There's histories like Japanese in Hawaii, Filipinos in Hawaii, etc. There's histories of Hawaii, there's like histories based on Native Hawaiians. But they, nobody's been doing like the actual interactions between Hawaiians and Asians in Hawaii. That history hasn't been really dug into. And there's a lot of good stuff in there. The 1980s were full of those, all these histories of the Pacific that were just, what happened when the white people showed up? And it's just over and over and over again. And it's cool that you're actually analyzing something.
Yeah.
But because none of them were Native, none of them were Asian, they didn't care about like, well, what happens when the Natives and the Asians interact? And what happens when the Samoans and the Tahitians interact? Mm-hmm. So that contact zone stuff, like when you start talking about that, it's kind of coming from anthro, and it is kind of like, it's been ignored when it's not between white people and non-white people, which means there's tons of stuff to study.
Can you give us a summary about your book, Return to Kahiki? In chapter 5 of your book, the title is There is Nothing That Separates Us. Can you explain further on why you chose that title?
So the book looks at three different projects that Hawaiians launched to make or shape relationships with other islanders. So there's Native Hawaiians that go as missionaries to the Marquesas and Micronesia, 1850 to 1904-ish. The second one is Kalakaua sends a diplomatic legation to Samoa, and then eventually it's supposed to go to Tonga to create an alliance between the three of them. Because the empires are coming, they're aggressive, and the idea is that we tangle them up with diplomacy. If all three of us are tied together with these diplomatic ties, it'll be harder for them to like scavenge piece by piece. And then the last one was John Baker, who's the guy on the front of the book. Originally, all the titles were really, they were just like descriptive. And when you switch it to a book, you're supposed to have more eloquent titles. He says that a couple of times, just variations of that. Like, ohe vehena, mai kako. Like, there's nothing between, there's no separation from us. And it fit that chapter, because that chapter was about how he's seeing all these connections, he's seeing all these ties. He's really trying to, and it's not just he's seeing it, but he's trying to tell his audience at home.
So how do the different islands connect with other oceanic people?
You mean like the different islands in Hawaii? Or?
Yes.
Ooh, there are certain places on each island that actually the names reflect, mm-hmm. or the rest of sort of the Pacific. So there's different places that still retain those connections, name-wise. Big Island chiefs always had they traced their ancestry to Pili. So Pa'au was a priest from somewhere in Kahiki that came up and brought a bunch of different religious things. And then the Big Island chiefs had bloodlines because they had screwed around too much with the Makainana. So it goes back to somewhere in Kahiki and comes back with Pili. So the Big Island chiefs would trace their ancestry to Pili. Oahu chiefs would trace their ancestry to La'a Mai Kahiki, La'a from Kahiki. Kauai chiefs would trace their ancestry sometimes to Olopana, and he has a sort of connection to there from Kahiki. Different islands would trace, like the chiefly lineages would trace to there. There's heiau that are associated with Kahiki. On almost everywhere, there seems to be, Raiatea was like a center by west of Tahiti, was a center for navigation. And there's a marae that was Tapu Tapu Atea. And one of the things is, in that late migration, so all the people whose languages are similar to Raiatean and similar to ours, there's usually a place called Tapu Tapu Atea or some variation. So there was actually a Kapu Kapu Atea that was somewhere up by Kualoa somewhere. Different islands would have specific things that they would tie to these places somewhere in the south. And then, you know, later on you have Laie, this huge sort of non-Hawaiian islander population. Like that was probably historically like the center of 20th century connections. On every island, there was Tahitians and Samoans all throughout the 19th century that would show up. There was a Samoan minister, apparently, that was in Waimea at one point. Tahitian ministers all across the 1830s to 1850s. So every island had connections to somewhere.
That was
okay.
Yeah. Every island has connection to the oceanic people.
Yeah.
So what do you hope for others to learn and take away from reading your book?
If they can walk away with chapter 5, I'm happy, because it's that sense of like, oh, there have always been these historical connections and they're always accessible. So even though there's no connections, like a family might not have connections to you, et cetera, but that if you look at these other places, Hawaiians are the exception in the American Empire. We're the weird thing in the American Empire, like a former kingdom, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff, all the, like, Hawaiian ideas. It doesn't fit into capitalism. We're bad at a lot of things that make you proper America. But then, actually, if you look at us within the Pacific, then it's like, oh, the things that make us weird and exceptional are actually that we're stuck with America and we kind of act like American. It's like us and American Samoa and Guam. We're the weirdos because we've been so sucked into that empire versus a lot of things that we were told are the abnormal things. The language, the hula, the sense of hospitality. Those are all the things that actually make us part of the Pacific and make sense as part of the Pacific.
But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, these majors.
Kealani Cook's research and his book Return to Kahiki provide some fresh insight on the intertwined history between the nations of Oceania.
His effort is one of many to help others understand the history of Kanaka Maoli in the Pacific, along with letting their voices be known and heard.
Thank you for being with us. This was our interview with Kealani Cook. Again, we are Team Wahine.
Aloha!